Good morning, and welcome to worship today. It's great to see you all. Please take the opportunity to extend the fellowship by joining us for tea and coffee, and I believe cake, in the hall next door after the service. We come to God and listen to his word from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me, for you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. We come to worship the God, our Creator, and we start by singing our first hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in you. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, how great you are. The signs of spring remind us of your gift of life and your power to renew. As the green springs from the soil, so we remember that you have the power to end the winters in our lives and to help us grow again. The receding darkness of winter nights remind us that before you there can be no darkness. Your truth shines its light into the dark and hidden things in our world. The morning breeze is being filled with birdsong, an anthem of praise to the one whose creative power reaches out to be in a relationship with your created beings. But Lord, we confess that we are too ready to close our ears to your call. We live as if our world is our own creation, as if we are self-made. So often, our only song of praise is one of self-congratulation. And too often, our love of self closes our eyes to our neighbours, to their intrinsic worth, and closes our eyes to their physical and emotional needs. And Lord, we confess that we hold on to shameful things that we hide in the darkness, away from the light of your judgment. We deny our accountability, and we live as if we are God. Lord, our rebellious spirit robs us of true life and cuts us off from your renewing power. Father, as we approach you this morning, give us a renewed spirit to join with our neighbours and bring tribute to our Creator. And when you renew us, let us become like jars of clay filled with your treasures. Let us bring the love of Jesus to those who are in the place of sorrow or mourning. Let us bring a word of challenge to those who abuse power. Let us bring healing to our world where unwitting action or greedy exploitation have marred our environment. Father God, bring a new spring to your church. Grant it life and renewal, that its people may proclaim and live out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we align ourselves to your loving purposes by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to be having the children's talk very shortly, so can we start off by getting all the children down to the front?
Good morning, everybody. As Graham said, we're just about to have the children's talk. He did fox me. I was expecting a hymn, but I obviously can't read the order of service. Right. Good morning, boys and girls. Now, this, I'm going to tell you a secret, and you promise you'll not tell anybody. Yeah. My secret is, this is the first time I've done this. Okay, now don't. That's maybe a bit premature. So today I am feeling a little bit fairy. How are you feeling?
Good.
Does anybody know what being a bit fairy is?
No.
It's when you're doing something fun, like this. This is fun, but it's a little bit scary. So it's called fairy. Okay, so today I am fairy. So I need your help, okay? Are you going to help me? And are you going to be kind to me? Yep. Now, first thing I need you to do is all come and stand up here. Can you come and stand up? And I want you to turn around. Thank you so much. Can you do that? Can you all stand up?
Yes, we can all stand up.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Jacob. Can you all sit down? Can you all stand up?
Oh, I know the trick.
Can you all sit down? Good. Right.
I know the trick.
Keep sitting down. I'm going to ask some questions, and depending on your answer, you'll either stand up or you'll sit down. So here's my first question. Stand up if you've got a mummy. You've got a mummy. That's brilliant. Thank you, Sky. And can you stay standing if you brought your mummy to church?
We
now some people didn't bring their mummy to church, so I have to come and see. Who brought you to church today?
My daddy.
Your daddy? No, there's mummy. A clue. And your mummy brought you, Cora. That's brilliant. Okay.
My big sister's here.
Your big sister didn't come because she's playing rugby. It's Cora's first time as well today. So let's work. So we've got Cora's come here for the first time and she's brought Elias. And they have got a big sister called Sky. And then we've also got other new people who are Miriam and Oren here at the end. So welcome to everybody. So some people are here with mummies and some people are actually here with their daddies. And now, where is Michaela? Michaela, who did you come with? You came with your granny. So we've got mums, we've got dads, we've got grannies. My next question. Can you stand up if you go to school or you go to nursery?
Nursery
or school, stand up. You should all be standing. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's okay, you can stay down there. Brilliant. Now, when you go to school, do you take your mummy into the classroom?
No.
No, so you should all be sitting down. Okay. Does your mummy go into the classroom or go into your nursery, Cora?
She helps me put my stuff away.
Oh, she's a very special mummy to do that. Does she do your maths homework too?
No.
No, that's lucky. I don't recommend it. Okay, so here we go. Now, so when we're at school, mummy's not there. And your dad's not there, and your granny's not there.
And your granddad's not there.
So when you're at school, who looks after you?
The teachers,
that's a good thing. And if you're at nursery, is it a teacher or is it a nursery nurse? Or
what? A nursery teacher.
A nursery teacher. Now, can you stand up if you go to any clubs after school?
Not me.
Not you. Oh, yeah, right, okay, you're going to tell us what do you do?
I go to tennis after Monday, I go to badminton after Thursday, and I go to Ankle Boys after Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's very busy. Are your mummy and daddy taxi drivers?
I don't drive there.
No, you don't drive there. Very healthy, that's what we like.
He walks there.
That's good. Right, okay, so that's what happens. Now, who looks after you when you're at Anchor Boys?
Philip,
Mrs. Owen.
And Mrs. Owen.
And Mrs. Owen, uh-huh. Anybody else?
And there's Ross.
Ross does, he's got a job, good job.
And there's Mr. Allerton.
And Mr. Allerton. Now, I think all those people actually come here. I think I know them,
yeah.
So that's great. So good job there. So they're other people, so they're not teachers that you'd find in a school.
No.
And they're not your mummy.
No.
No, all right, okay. So let's build up that picture there. All right. Okay, now I would like you to sit down if you like stories. Can you sit down if you like a story? Do you like
facts?
You like facts, Joseph.
I'm more like facts than because facts are more interesting than stories.
Quite right. Too. For anyone who didn't hear, Joseph likes facts because facts are much more exciting than stories. Okay, now I like stories, and just from some of the things you've told me there, I'm going to ask for a slide to be put up, and on this slide is some of the stories that I like to read. And I wonder if you know any of the people that are in these pictures. So, sitting on the sofa, right in the middle, who is that? Hands up if you know who that is. Yes, Cora.
Bluey.
That's Bluey. And who's Bluey sitting with?
Her mum.
Her mum.
Chili.
Now, just to the side, there's a strange lady with an umbrella. Who is that? Oh, Cora, you know all the answers, don't you? Now, that is Mary Poppins. And do you know what Mary Poppins does with the children she looks after?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She takes them on a roof.
Yes, she takes them up on a roof, but she sings lovely songs. And for those people who've seen the film, they might have thought it was Mrs. Owen singing. It's not. It's the lady in the picture with the umbrella, who is Mary Poppins. Just above Mary Poppins, who's that? Yep, go on then.
Dumbo.
Dumbo, that's right. And Dumbo is with Mrs. Jumbo. And then, do you see the next picture that's got the horse in it?
Yep.
Now, Miriam, who's that? Cinderella. And who's Cinderella with?
Fairy godmother.
Who's she with? Her fairy godmother. I want you to think about godmothers. And then there is one just underneath that. Now, Jacob, that's got your name on it. Who's that?
It's Harry Potter.
It's Harry Potter. When Harry Potter goes to school, he gets looked after by the teachers, and that's Professor McGonagall. Right, there you go. So there's all the different people that can look after us. If we move to the next slide and have a quick look in there. So who's in the next slide now? Who's that person? Does anybody know?
Joseph and the angel.
Right, Joseph, you go for it. Who's that?
Jesus.
And who's Jesus's mummy?
Mary,
that's right. Okay, so I've told you about some storybooks, and this is a very important storybook because this book is the Bible, and it is filled with lots of stories about people who love us, like mummies love us, or like Mary loves us, and Jesus loves us, and all those things. Thank you, Elias. That's a very good answer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm actually a mummy. And if you turn around, you'll see a picture of my little boy. That's my boy, and he's called Callum. And I think we've got a Callum here this morning with us, haven't we? There he is. Callum, give us a wave. Good job. When Callum was very, very little, we brought him to church, and he was christened. Now, I'm sure that some of you might have been christened. And if we move to the next slide, do you see the picture in the middle? That's Callum on his christening day. I didn't believe in robes. I wanted him to be a true Scotsman. So we've got his kilt on with a nappy underneath. Very important. Anyway, so the picture in the middle, that's Callum on his christening day. And this would have happened to you as well, that part of the service, all these people here have to make a promise. So as well as the mummy and daddy and the godparents, everybody that was at the service, they make a promise. And they promise that they're going to love you and look after you, and they're going to tell you all about God, and they're going to show you all the love that God and Jesus give us. Isn't that amazing? And then as Callum got a bit older, he's in his kilt again when he's about 4, and he's at Newport Primary School. But I'm not there at school with him, because you've told me I don't go to school with children. But I knew that all the teachers and all the staff that were there, and that included Mrs. Owen again, that they looked after Callum. And then he would go to activities like the Anchor Boys, or the BBs, and again, there was people there to look after him, like Ross, Mr. Allerton, and Mr. Owen. And then he gets a little bit older, and he's going to a different school, and there's more teachers there to look after him. So, it's a special day today.
It's Mother's Day.
Can you stand up if you wished your mummy just what Cora said? Can you stand up if you did that? Today is the day that we celebrate anybody who shows us love and kindness like a mummy. Now, you promised me that you were going to help, didn't you? In a moment, we're going to say a prayer, and then after the prayer, we're going to be singing a song. And during that song, we're going to go around and we're going to give these to each person that's sitting out there. And I need some people to deliver them. So we're all going to help. We're going to say a prayer, and I need your help. So when you hear me say the words love and kindness afterwards, you're going to say thank you, amen. So let's have a practice. Love and kindness.
Thank you.
I think we can maybe do a bit better than that. If you do it with a smile. Okay, ready? Love and kindness. Right, okay, here we go with our prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for protecting us and showing us how much you love us by giving us mummies and also giving us people to love and protect us. Thank you for writing those facts down in the Bible, which is a good storybook, and giving us lots of examples of how we can look after people with love and kindness.
Thank you, amen.
Brilliant. Now, when I was a little girl and I went to Newport Primary School, we got taught a hymn, and it's a hymn that stayed with me, and it's one that helps me to remember how much God loves me and God loves all of us. And that's going to be our next hymn. Now, because we're delivering things, all these people out here have to sing extra loud. Yeah? Okay, right. Here we go. Hannah, would you do the honours? Thank you.
Choir will now sing the anthem, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. John 19, 25, 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is hymn 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You will have heard the saying, home is where the heart is. And I expect for many, most of us, home is where we reside. It's where we feel safe and secure. It's where we meet with our loved ones, where we know others and are known. But for many, there's another place in our hearts. It's the place we feel we are from, the place where neither time nor distance can break the bond. There's a saying, another one, it takes a village to raise a child. And if that's true, then I was raised in a village, the village of Castletown in rural Caithness. It holds memories of a simpler lifestyle, of close childhood friendships, of climbing trees and muddy knees, and that ferociously stiff bristled brush that my mam resorted to when she tried to get my knees to look presentable once more. It was a good place to grow up. Today, we celebrate Mother's Day. The modern notion of Mother's Day grew up in the United States in the early part of the 20th century. But the tradition of Mothering Sunday is much older. It has its roots in medieval times, and a tradition grew up that people would, on this Sunday in Lent, return to the church where they were baptized, or perhaps where they were raised, in recognition of its significance in their lives. People returned to the church that mothered them spiritually. Well, nowadays we are much more mobile, and we may be disconnected from our mother place, our spiritual home, and we make our new home where we are. My parents left their native Orkney in 1960 to move to Caithness, and for many years, when they went back to Orkney to visit, my dad would refer to the two-hour ferry trip as going home, only for Mam to declare, "No, home is here." Well, they still make the journey occasionally, and Dad usually remembers not to call it going home. But when home is a place of our own making, we are tempted to build it just around ourselves. We may create the feeling of safety and security by putting up barriers to keep out those people's events that would harm us, epitomized by the saying, "An Englishman's home is his castle." That's not to exclude any Scots in the room, or others, Canadians, if you're there, for those that are in. But at the same time, we may also put up barriers to those people who would befriend us, to those events that would enrich us. In our minds, a knock on a closed door may be a threatened intrusion rather than heralding a friend. We diminish ourselves when we close the door on our community to the world. We diminish ourselves when we close the door on our Christian brothers and sisters. But Jesus' way leads us to break down barriers. John's Gospel tells us of two people who are going to find it hardest to deal with Jesus' tragic death: Mary, his mother, and John, his best friend. And Jesus gives each one what they need: companionship, family, someone who gets what they are feeling. In and through each other, Jesus gives them both hope. He gives them community, a relationship where their hearts belong. And this, I think, is evidence of the life in its fullness that Jesus talks about and wills for each one of us. Even in our darkest moments, Jesus makes for us a new place of hope and healing, and we walk in it when we walk away from our old self-centered lives and rebelliousness and walk in the path of community, cooperation, and obedience to him. I know a woman who would do a holy thing. She would watch the news with her daughters. Doesn't sound too holy, but they might see something locally or nationally or internationally that would move them. The mum would join them in prayer, and then they would do another holy thing. They would bake some cakes or do some craft. That doesn't sound too holy either, but they'd sell what they made and put the money to the cause that they prayed for. What a way to raise your children, to show them the reality of the compassion of God, and to help them realize that God calls us to share that compassion. And what discipleship too, to share the act of being compassionate with your friends and neighbours. I don't think those daughters will ever forget that sense of home. In the time of our youth, most of us depend on our own mothers to create that place. A physical home, yes, but more than this, an emotional place where we find consolation in times of trouble. But we have to acknowledge that not everyone has that kind of relationship with their mother. A minister past in this church has spoken of his wariness of speaking of the blessings of God as our Heavenly Father, because he was aware that some people had grown up with a poor or even harmful relationship with their earthly father. And although this may less often describe people's relationship with their mother, for some their mother is the one who failed them or betrayed them or in dying left them. So we have to open our eyes to those who do not have this support in times of trouble. And to console others, we must find our own consolation in God. It's not a case of fake it until you make it, or to come with kind but empty words. But rather, we need to seek until we come to God to find consolation, and then through that, find means to console the frightened, the panic-struck, the panic-buying, the fearful, and for all those in whom alarm is rising. I think we can say that the current times are indeed troubled times, but it's only when we look inwards that we can reveal the limits of our own resources that leads to deeper fear and selfishness. But acting in love found from God in Jesus Christ will do the exact reverse. As we look out from ourselves in love, then we can enable other people to find the place of their own nurture, not that historic place, but rather that new place where they meet and find God and find his consolation. And as we share our consolation, what we have known and learned of the love of God, then the mother love of God will likewise enfold them. As we love the poor, as we give to a food bank, as we call on someone who's lonely, as we do their shopping and pray with them, then we'll find that we are deeply consoled by our own gift of consolation, as they are of theirs. And we find our true home when we live our lives following the disciplines of love contained in Paul's letter to the Colossians that Jane read to us earlier. When we recognize that we are all God's chosen people, we're holy and dearly loved, when we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. We find our true home when we bear with each other and forgive one another, when we forgive as the Lord forgave us, and when we put on love, which binds together all these other virtues in perfect unity. And we too are bound together because we're all members of one church. But please don't think that being a member of a church is like being a member of a club or association. Paul reminds us that we are members of one body, as if we were an arm and a leg. And we are as connected and interdependent as we are of our own limbs. And because of the connection and interdependence, Christ calls us to live under his rule of peace. And how do we know we're doing it? Well, that inner peace has outward signs. When we are living under his rule, all that we do, whether singing in here or speaking out there, are done to honor Jesus. And when we do all this, we make a place for others where they can become a child of God. I was delighted that Kirsten reminded us of the promise that we all make at the time of baptism, where we promise to so organize our lives in worship that we will provide a Christian upbringing for our children, to show that they are chosen and dearly loved. We help create a spiritual home for them. They don't need to hanker after some lost idol. We don't need to hanker after some lost idol either, or remember our youth when each one of us follows the example of Mary and John at the foot of the cross and do what Jesus tells them to do. Then their home is here. We do not need to look elsewhere to find the place that mothers us spiritually, because for us, home is where Jesus reigns, and because Jesus reigns, home is here. Amen. From the hymn book 694, or Words on the Overhead, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Come to God again in our prayers, our prayer of dedication and of intercession. Lord God, you have redeemed us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the barriers between us, built from our wrongdoing, have fallen away before his grace and mercy. What can we say? What can we do? What can we give to honor what Jesus has done for us? Father, we dedicate our offerings as a poor tribute to the one who gave all. Bless it for the sake of Jesus and to renew your church, to bring your blessings to our communities and the ones you call us to love. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we bring before you a war-torn and weary world, and we despair of the human violence that denies the God-given intrinsic worth in each of us. Father, raise from among us the leaders we need to find a path to peace. Thwart the purposes of those who see aggression as the right of the powerful and who deny the humanity of each one of us. We pray for the conflict in Gaza and for the 1 million refugees seeking shelter, water, and sanitation in Rafah, whilst yearning to return home in peace. We pray for the situation in Nigeria and for the children and families who are victims of the ongoing school kidnappings. Lord Jesus, you bless the children. Bring your blessing to these children and build a country where they can grow and learn in peace and safety. We remember before you the war in Ukraine and the millions who have fled from the destruction of their homes and the conflict that has claimed so many lives. Father, rebuild this nation and let its foundations be peace and safety. Father, we pray for those in need in our community, and we remember those too who care for them. Father, you did not make us to be alone, but made us for community, so that we can face hard times together. So we pray for healing and for consolation, and we pray too that none would face their difficulties on their own. Father, where someone is hurting, bind them to a son or a mother, as Jesus did on the cross, so that each one can receive strength and encouragement from their Lord to face the storm. Lord, help us to be a mother or a son to those in need. For when we do this, we honour our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We draw our time of worship to a close by singing our final hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. I'll make you stand a moment longer than normal, for I have two intimations which I would need to share with you. First of all, for those who like coffee and cake and aren't getting enough after the service this morning, there is a coffee morning in the East Hall, Wirmot, held by Wirmot and Balmerino Guild from 10 to 11:30. And if that wasn't in celebration enough for you, tomorrow evening at 7:30 through in the hall, we are having Tim Scowler, a past youth worker, who is now a priest in the Episcopal Church, coming to speak to us about a church planting that he's now involved with in Glasgow. He's come all the way from Australia to come back to plant a church in Glasgow. Please extend the fellowship of the church by taking part in these events as well. And now the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, now and evermore.